ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, Julia Baird and Jeremy Fernandez here. And on our pod, Not Stupid, we unpack some of the big and more curious stories of the week.
From whatever's going on in America right now to AI slop and stolen artifacts.
You can find Not Stupid on ABC Listen.
Susan Lee has lost the Liberal leadership. The party room voted to dump its first female leader after she'd been in the role for just 9 months.
The leadership of our party is a gift of the party room, and I respect the decision that they have made. For those who supported me today, I thank you. I thank you. Your loyalty, your unflinching loyalty, I will always appreciate. For those who did not, I genuinely have no hard feelings. I wish Angus Taylor well. I know he has experience, energy, and drive.
Angus Taylor will now have the mammoth task of turning around some of the worst polling in the Liberal Party's history and stopping One Nation from stealing more of its voters.
If an election was held today, our party may not exist by the end of it. We're in this position because we didn't stay true to our core values, because we stopped listening to Australians, because we were attracted to the politics of convenience rather than focusing on the politics of conviction. This ends today. This ends today. Our borders have been open to people who hate our way of life. People who don't want to embrace Australia and who want Australia to change for them. We've had the worst terrorist attack on our soil in our history, perpetrated by Islamist extremists. And as Australians, we're less free. It shouldn't be this way.
Today, Nikki Saver, political commentator, author, and former advisor to Prime Minister John Howard, on the leadership spill and whether the coalition has any chance of returning to government. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
So there you go. We've now confirmed that Angus Taylor has won the leadership, 34 votes to 17, and that is an emphatic win. It
mirrors. Well, good afternoon, all. It is the greatest honour of my life to be elected as the leader of the Liberal Party.
Nikki, that's what you call a decisive vote, that's for sure, isn't it?
It definitely was decisive, yes, which I think is probably a very good thing for Angus.
Yeah, because it really is imperative, isn't it? If you're tasked with uniting a party, you really need a vote like that.
You do. And it shows that, you know, by far the majority is willing to get behind him. Fingers crossed, I think. All their fingers are crossed and their toes, hoping that he can do the job. And, of course, you know, we don't know, and a lot of them don't know if he can succeed, but he's off to a good start. That's all we can say.
All right. Well, his deputy is Senator Jane Hume.
Standards of living are collapsing. Hard work is going unrewarded. And we have a government that doesn't listen. It's a message that I am hearing right across the country.
I guess when you roll a woman, it's a pretty good idea to have a deputy who is a woman.
Yes. Well, look, I know there is a lot of angst about the fact that they've just rolled their first female leader, but seriously, it was impossible to see how she could survive those poll numbers. And, you know, just if you look back, no man would have been able to survive those poll numbers. It would have been impossible. And as we know these days, okay, it might not be fair, it might not be right, but every politician, male or female, lives or dies by the polls.
And just a reminder for everyone, of course, the latest news poll showed that the coalition's primary vote had slipped to 18%, which was behind One Nation.
Yes.
On 27%. Extraordinary, isn't it?
I mean, those numbers are just dreadful.
Dreadful. And the great fear inside the Liberal Party was that there was always the potential for them to get worse. And Lee's people were pleading for more time, to give a time till the budget, which was the original intention, actually, of the members of the right, that they would give her a year in the job. But, you know, not everything was within their control. And those numbers obviously have precipitated this. And their concern was that if they left it longer, they would go lower. Then how do you come back from that? I mean, imagine if the Liberal Party had slid from 18% to 11 or 12 or even 9. The situation was pretty dire, so she was a goner.
Well, with this new leadership team in place, Susan Lee, of course, came out and resigned from the parliament, so she's off, she's out of there.
I will be spending the next couple of weeks thanking the amazing people of Farrer. Shortly thereafter, I will be tendering my resignation to the Speaker. I'm not sure what comes next for me. I look forward to stepping away completely and comprehensively from public life.
And of course, Nikki, that is going to cause a by-election.
That would be a very difficult by-election for the Liberals. Would also be a very difficult by-election for the Nationals. And I also kind of looked at this in my book, Earthquake. I spoke to Cathy McGowan, the mother of the Teals, and she was saying that if Susan Lee was defeated in a ballot and then resigned, then she thought the Teals would be in with a very good chance of winning Farrer. She said they probably couldn't win it in a general election, but a by-election is different. So I think it would be pretty fascinating and a very, very interesting first test for Angus Taylor.
Yeah, but what do you think? Will voters be so taken by Angus Taylor as to come back to the coalition? As you said before, he's got a massive task now.
It is a massive task, and it's not one that he can do on his own, because the fact is that the Liberal Party, because they have left it so long to address all these problems, they need to change almost everything about themselves, right, if they're to make up ground. Now, Angus will shoulder a lot of that responsibility, and his best bet, he's not a very popular person out in the electorate. Mm-hmm. People don't think he did all that well in the shadow treasurer's job. Mm-hmm. I'm not blaming him 100% for that. I think Dutton held a lot of responsibility for that. You know, Angus Taylor and Jane Hume, for that matter, did want to go to the election with a tax cut rivaling Labor's, and Dutton overruled it. So I think, you know, Dutton has to be, you know, blamed for that. But it's now up to Angus to show that he does know what needs to be done to at least restore some of the Liberals' reputation on economic management. That is key. And the economy, when you look at, you know, all the differences between the Liberal Party, the National Party, One Nation, the drift to the right, the loss to the left, the one issue that maybe might unite them is the economy. So I think if he concentrates on that and comes up with a few good policies, you know, to tackle inflation, to get interest rates down, to improve housing affordability, without indulging in culture wars on immigration, then maybe it's possible that he will get some of those numbers back. But it's not going to be easy, and it is going to take a long time.
All right, well, Nikki, let's just talk a bit more then about whether or not this move to roll Susan Lee and put Angus Taylor in the position will actually help the coalition. Now, at the last election, after that huge defeat, particularly for the Liberals, there was a thought that the party had a woman problem. And picking Susan Lee was partly an answer to that. So what do female voters think of this move?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, there will be some who will be disappointed. But if you consider what James Patterson said yesterday on how many voters the Liberal Party has lost since the election, like 7,000 a day, not all of them were men. You know, there were women in there as well. And I think part of Susan's problem was that she didn't go out of her way to provide avenues for more women, you know, to get into the Liberal Party. I thought it was a big mistake on her part early in her tenure when quotas arose as an issue. And a lot of women in the Liberal Party have changed their mind about quotas. Once upon a time, they thought it would be insulting, you know, to be seen to have got there via a quota. They wanted to be seen as getting there on merit. But look, it's not as if every bloke who's a member of the Liberal Party front bench got there on merit, right? They got there because men are running the Liberal Party. So I think, you know, they have changed their mind on quotas because nothing else has worked. And it was wrong of Susan Lee to say, I'm a zealot on getting women into Parliament, but I'm agnostic on how to do it. Well, that was rubbish. You know, that was a rubbish statement. She should have come out in favour of quotas. The right would have gone berserkos. But look, they were always going to go out and get her, weren't they? So she might as well have stood up for something. And same applies to net zero. Once upon a time, she supported net zero by 2050. Well, she abandoned that and she caved to the right. Well, that was, I think, another mistake. She should have staked out her territory and just fought for whatever it was that she believed in. In the end, even people who had voted for her, women, did not know what she stood for or what her convictions were. I mean, what were the issues that she was prepared to die on a hill for? Nobody knew.
Well, let's pose that question for Angus Taylor then. What are the issues that he will die on a hill for? Does he need to shift to the right?
I don't think he needs to shift to the right. I think the Liberal Party is far enough over to the right now. And, you know, the way for him to succeed and the way for the Liberal Party to win and to win back some of the people they've lost is to move closer to the centre. If they're to have any hope at all of getting back their heartland seats, they need to be closer to the centre. When I was writing my book, Earthquake, I was talking to many of them about, you know, what they needed to do. And, you know, there were some who thought that the parties were going to split, that people would join up with One Nation and there would be a new conservative force that was rebuilt in Australia, a la Nigel Farage. But then the question was, well, where is the centre-right party that's going to be successful? That needs to be rebuilt. And Angus Taylor, I don't know whether he's got it in him to do it. I don't know whether he has the will or the know-how. We will find out soon enough. But the party to succeed needs to be centre-right.
Does he need, though, to have bold policy ideas, particularly when it comes to the economy?
Definitely.
What do you think we'll see from him?
Well, his supporters were telling me beforehand that, yes, he is going to make the economy his priority.
I want our country to once again be one of opportunity and aspiration. We must restore Australia to a country where life is affordable, where our kids can buy a home, where you can raise a family, and where there's a fair go once again, where we're a nation of strength and unity, where we unapologetically defend Australian values.
When he does need to be bold. I mean, this is not a time to curl up in a ball, right, and just prattle on about how we have to keep the government to account. Well, yeah, they have to keep the government to account, but they need to provide an alternative. They need to be seen as a credible alternative. And the only way they can do that is by formulating policies.
Well, Nikki, the party, of course, has a new leader and maybe a new approach, but it doesn't mean, of course, he can turn these polls around. Now, how long will the Liberal Party give him to do that?
Well, again, it depends. Does he put a floor under the leadership vote, and will there be some restoration of the vote? That's what people will be looking for. And if he can show that he is making headway, they will give him time. And maybe he will make it to the next election. But if he can't produce results, if he freezes, you know, in the spotlight, and, you know, being a leader is not an easy thing in this climate. If he doesn't perform, then the other thing that I was told before this ballot was that if Taylor goes down, they've always got Andrew Hastie in reserve, right? That was one of the big reasons why Hastie did not run and why his friends did not want him to run, because they didn't want to burn him. So if Taylor goes down, then, you know, Hastie is in reserve, and Hastie, you know, hopefully by that time will have gained a bit of experience in an economic portfolio, which he sorely needs. So, and it wouldn't be the first time that the Liberals have churned through three leaders in a term. It happened after the defeat of the Howard government. They went through Brendan Nelson and then Malcolm Turnbull and then landed on Tony Abbott. So it wouldn't be unusual.
So what do you think then, Nikki? Can the coalition actually convince Australians they're a viable option? And how long does that take? Can they actually fix that before the next election, which is, of course, in 2028? So they haven't got that long, actually.
They might be able to fix some of it. I don't think they can fix all of it.
Mm.
It's not just the parliamentary party that needs to perform. It's the Liberal Party infrastructure that needs to be sorted out. They need to work out better how to run election campaigns. I mean, the thing about Albanese was in 2025, he had Paul Erickson, who, let's face it, is a genius at electioneering, right? If the Liberal Party could find someone like that to run their election campaigns, then they would make up ground. They probably wouldn't win, but they would make up ground, and that's what they need to do. They need to reform their party structures, they need to broaden their membership, and they need to, you know, just think and talk and look and act like modern Australians do, which at the moment they don't.
Nikki Savva is a political commentator, former advisor to Prime Minister John Howard, and author of Earthquake, the election that shook Australia, about last year's election. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.